Mark Emicides, Dr. Chemical. Got a bit of a cold there, Mark.
Oh, it's this horrible, chesty, phlegmy cough.
Oh, thanks for sharing that.
It's been there for about 2 weeks. It just will not go away. No. I'm on the downhill slope now.
All right, I think I'll be better.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not going to share his lovely germs with us.
I don't believe so.
Okay,
no,
we'll get on to Anna's Barb, like I've written down
yes,
for you.
Yes, I'll give it a go.
And you'll never get another cold.
Thank you, Dave.
Good to have you back for
another year. Yeah.
And if people are dealing with, gosh, where do these darn stains come from? No, seriously. You have an immaculate house. The floors are looking fantastic. You turn your back, you come back, and there's something there.
Yes, that's right. It happens.
Is that nature?
Yeah, I think some people would call it chaos theory. I've got no idea what that is, but that's what some people might call it.
People walk it in. I know. I get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the floors are the biggest contenders of having to be looked after, I suppose.
Yeah.
So a little bit of your background as a chemical consultant. I know you've mentioned it before, but how about reiterating that for people?
All right. I worked many years ago for Reckitt and Coleman back in the 80s.
That was the blue rinse for the... And other products.
Yeah, they were market leaders with a lot of the leading brands on the market at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's, 30-40 years ago now.
Wow.
And I've just kept my eye on the market ever since.
Yep.
So I just walk into the supermarket and I pick up products and look at them, and it's pretty easy to work out what they are and how they work.
If you can read what the ingredients of these things are, you have an understanding of it, don't you?
Yeah, you can do it by the ingredients, or you can often just tell by the smell of it.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, yeah. To the trained nose, the smell of a product can reveal an awful lot.
Well, we aren't trained, so we rely on you to take a big,
big
sniffer into the supermarket.
Exactly.
Are you often questioned when you take the tops off these products and smell them?
I've had a few funny looks on occasions.
Now, this is an interesting point before we take our first call. We've got Jane in just a second. Generic products.
Yep.
Generic products. How do they compare... And are they all the same? Are they all good, or some are better than others?
Well, the answer is sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. See, this is the way it works. The major manufacturers, they don't have any manufacturing facilities of their own. So anything they sell, whether it's baked beans or fly spray or hairspray, they've got to get someone else to do it for them.
Okay.
And sometimes just a contract filler. So, for example, there was a thing in the news a few months ago there were peanuts that they had to withdraw from the market because they feared they had plastic in there. Because the contract filler, they discovered chips on the plastic rollers. And that affected the market brands of the three major supermarkets. So the three major supermarkets all had the same product, peanuts, mm-hmm. with their own brand on it.
Oh,
all packed by the same person.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to something complicated like an aerosol, it's not quite so simple. So what they do is they go to the premium branded manufacturers, they ask them to make, say, a fly spray or a hairspray or something with their own no-name brand on it.
Is it the same product, though?
Well, this is the point. In many cases, it is. Because the manufacturer has then got to answer the question, do we reformulate it to make it cheaper, or do we just put the same stuff in different cans?
And take a bit of a loss,
yep.
But sell a lot more.
Well, here's the point. It's cheaper, often, to put the same brand in a different can because the profit margins on those products are so massive that they're still making a big profit.
It makes a lot of
now,
sense.
Now, just to give an idea of how big the profit margins are on some products.
Oh, don't scare us.
I used to work at a waste management company, mm-hmm. So people would bring waste to us. One day we had a pharmaceutical company turn up with 5 tons of hand soap.
Oh, my gosh.
5 pallets of hand soap, all with 1,000 tubs of hand soap on there.
Bars of hand soap?
No, these are the 1 litre dispensers.
Okay. Yep.
Now, this is a premium brand. This stuff sells at $24 a litre.
What?
In pharmacies. And they were chucking it out. And you know where they were chucking it out?
Why?
Because it had been put in the wrong boxes.
And?
It was more expensive to repackage them in the right boxes.
Oh, my gosh.
Than it was to make some more product.
And they could have given it to hospitals or something.
Yeah. So this particular product comes with a certain additive, with or without. And the stuff with the additive had been put in the boxes without the additive. It wasn't worth it while to pay someone to rebox it.
See, we the consumer will never, ever understand that.
No.
No. And it's up to you to keep sniffing.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
All right, let's take the first call. So some generics are better than others. And
well, this is what you do. you go and pick up the cans. So go and pick up the can of the fly spray or the mouthwash, look at the ingredients, then go and pick up the generic one and just hold them next to each other and compare them.
Ah, okay.
Very often they're identical.
That's easy.
Exactly. Very often they're identical.
Mm.
You don't need to understand what those chemicals are or what they do.
I'm going
to
do that.
You just compare them next to each other, and very often they're identical. Yep. And when they are, you know you've got the same product in a cheaper brand.
I read years ago with Choice Magazine that a lot of the very top-selling makeup lines for ladies, a cheaper quality one, like you were saying, have got the same ingredients.
Yep.
Yep. Very true. Oh, gee, you're breaking all these myths down now, aren't you? Jane, sorry to keep you. Hello there, Jane.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me.
That's okay.
Look, I just want to ask Dr. Chemical how to get blue tack off a wood veneer surface.
Wood veneer.
Yeah, okay. Easiest way is to freeze it. So you get an ice cube, sit an ice cube on it for a while. And it'll go hard, and then it will just chip away.
Yeah.
It'll just pull away.
So I don't have to do anything other than put an ice cube on it then?
That's right, yeah.
Just hold it there for a while?
That's right, yeah.
Until it turns it hard?
Yep. Just,
All right then. And is your book out yet?
No, it isn't.
I keep at him about it, Jane.
I was having a conversation on the phone last week with the publishers about how they're going to market it and so on, but it's still...
It's getting closer, though.
It's getting closer,
Jane, we all have these trials and tribulations, don't we, with these stains and things?
You can achieve an awful lot in stain removal just by changing the temperature.
Oh.
So another one is cement dust or cement spray or grout on metal fences. Use a heat gun, and the metal will expand at a greater rate than the cement, and it will just fall off. It'll just chip away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We need that in writing.
Yep.
All right, Jane, good luck on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye then.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, blue tack, that's been a terrible product, that one, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
What's been the hardest sorry, I've still had it there. What's been the hardest product, do you think, for people to remove? Is it the animal stuff?
These days, paints can be very hard to get out.
Oh, I thought they were mostly water-based these days.
Well, they are, but they're very advanced technology. Now, these days, it's very common to find paints with lifetime guarantees because they've got stabilisers in there and they are extremely chemically stable.
Oh.
And to remove them is not as easy as it used to be.
Oh, okay. Even though it lasts longer, it's harder to remove. If you get it on what? If you have it on fabric or anything?
Yeah, and the water-based ones have got more technology in them than the old solvent-based ones.
Oh, good in one way and not in another.
That's right, yeah.
Just be careful where you're splattering your paint.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Good point. Okay, where am I? I wish I have to put my glasses on. Good afternoon to you. Linda. Are you there, Linda?
I am. I am indeed, Jenny. Hello.
Good. Hello,
Linda.
Good day.
Hi there. Hi. Well, some clever fellow wrote on a whiteboard with permanent marker.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering what your advice is to get rid of it.
Okay. All right, do you have any sugar soap handy?
I can do that, yes.
Yep, sugar soap usually works. It's a remarkable product. Just squirt it on and rub it off with an ordinary kitchen scour or rag. If that doesn't work, get some acetone from the hardware store, and that'll do it.
Acetone with nail polish remover.
Yeah, acetone will melt my nails, so I better go for the sugar soap.
Yeah, okay.
Let's be vain about this, hey?
What was that? Sorry, Linda?
I said I'm going to be vain about it. I don't want my nails melted.
Yeah, fair enough too.
Sugar soap, definitely.
They don't use acetone as nail polish remover anymore.
All right. Don't they? Okay.
No.
Thank you, Linda. Good luck.
Bye now.
Oh, they don't. They used to have that in. Is that not a good product anymore? Or is it dangerous?
I think it's just marketing. It's got quite a strong solvent-type smell.
Yeah, very true.
So I think they use esters now, ethyl acetate, that kind of thing.
Okay.
They've got a very sweet smell.
What's your opinion about us using all of these products with all of these chemicals on our health?
Well, it's very heavily regulated market.
Good.
There's very strict controls on what they can sell, the supermarkets and the hardware stores, and very strict controls over the warning labels on them.
That we, the consumer, should read?
Yep.
Okay, it's just the breathing in, if you talk about the fumes and so on like that.
Yeah, no, there's no connection between how strong something smells and how toxic it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
No connection at all.
Oh.
A question I get asked is, if you overdo it with bleach in the bathroom and you come out coughing and spluttering, has it poisoned you? No, it hasn't. Bleach is a strong irritant, but that's all.
Okay.
It's nothing worse than that. Some of the most toxic things in the world are completely odourless and tasteless.
Oh, well, there you go. Really? What are they?
Well, one is thallium.
Which is found in what?
Nothing these days. Oh. It's only industrial applications. It's used in semiconductors in some sort of batteries. It used to be sold as rat poison.
Oh, that's a good indication of nasty.
Back in the 50s in New South Wales, it was sold as rat poison because it was obviously very effective. But it's the perfect poison because it is completely odourless and completely tasteless. Ooh. And as well as that, its symptoms are non-specific. So if you poison with it, it affects all parts of your bodies at once. So the doctors don't know what's poisoned you because it's so non-specific. Ooh. And there was a series of murders in Sydney.
Don't give someone any ideas.
In the 50s, and they couldn't work out what was causing it. Eventually, it was worked out that it was a thallium in the rat poison.
So it's a product, like a powder or
grain? It's a metal.
A metal.
It's an element. In fact, thallium powder used to be called inheritance powder.
Mm. Oh, gosh, yes, I can get the point now. Knocking off the nana.
It's been called the poisonous poison.
Oh, hope you can't buy it.
The poisoner that a connoisseur would use.
Had a bit of dignity with it, didn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi there.
Sorry, good afternoon. I just have a question. I've recently had false teeth dentures put in. And I was given some cleaner to, dip your false teeth in and let them sit. I've discovered that it ate the laminate on my bench top. It has bleached it. Is there any way to unbleach the...
Oh, laminate.
Do you know what it was?
Oh, it was a denture cleaner. I threw it away.
It's likely to be probably... It probably is a low concentration of bleach.
Wow.
It probably is bleach. Okay. The bad news is that the action of bleach on laminate is irreversible.
Yes.
But you may be able to get away with it. So what you do is go to the hardware store and get some wet and dry abrasive paper. So not sandpaper, not garnet paper, wet and dry. Get the finest grade you can get, which I think is number 1200. So you wet the area and you just rub it in. It's very, very fine abrasive. With a bit of luck, you can scrub off the upper surface, which has been bleached.
Oh,
and depending on how deep it's gone, you might get away with it.
Get the colour back.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, yep. I hope so. I'm in a rental and they never told me that it had...
No, it's...
I never expected it to be giving me...
I'm with you on that.
And if that works... It'll probably be dull, the area. So you bring it back up to shine with an automotive polish.
Automotive.
Oh, okay. I was thinking baby oil.
Baby oil might work. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, it might work.
Okay.
But automotive polishes contain silicon, and they will fill in all the little grooves and cracks in the actual stuff that you've sanded back, and that'll bring up a nice polish to it.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that. Keep your teeth in, Michelle.
Thank you.
See you later. Oh, my God, that sounds horrible. Hello, Philomena.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
Can I ask Mark, when you shop with generic brands, does that apply to, like, with prescriptions? You know, when you get a script from a doctor and you go to the chemist and he basically, just about most of the time, I seem to offer you, a generic brand in the sense that, it costs less. So you should then tell the doctor, why did he offer you the generic brand and not the original one? So could you tell me, Mark, they'll tell you it's the same ingredients, but then the price is cheaper with the generic brand.
Yes, I always buy generic brand drugs because the pharmaceutical industry is the most heavily regulated industry in this whole area. More so than aerosols and more so than domestic products. Very heavily regulated. So anything they sell has got to meet very strict guidelines. And if there was any particular sector where I'd say, in general, the generic brand is exactly the same stuff as the premium stuff, it will be pharmaceuticals.
Why don't they make all products generic, pharmaceutical products, or generic then? Why then do they...
Well, people have brand recognition.
Okay, they feel comfortable.
Yeah. I'll give an example of this. The first shoe polish ever made used a solvent called nitrobenzene. And that's the smell you get when you... It's a characteristic shoe polish smell. Now, back then, they thought this was a carcinogenic chemical. But they used it because it's the only chemical they could find that would dissolve all the oils and waxes. So people associated that smell with shoe polish. Later on, they developed a new solvent which did the same job but didn't smell.
Mm-hmm.
Good, but it was safer. And you know what? People stopped buying the shoe polish.
Oh.
So it didn't smell like shoe polish anymore,
good
you see.
Good boys. We like familiarity.
So they've gone back to nitrobenzene in shoe polish to this day. So people identify with brands, and particularly with pharmaceuticals. They don't know whether they can trust the generic brands, but certainly with pharmaceuticals, you certainly can.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And I guess also it would help when you're a pensioner, isn't it? If you go for a generic brand, you probably it's a lot less than the...
Totally. My gosh, it's nearly half price usually.
Yep. Dead right. Yep.
All right, Philomena.
Yeah, off the score, can I just ask you, what can you use to take up a bar or mark of leather, lounge switch, just very quickly?
Acetone will do it.
What is it?
Acetone.
Acetone from a hardware
store. Yeah, or isopropanol.
Pardon?
Isopropanol.
She can't spell that.
Or
acetone, is that like nail polish remover?
No.
No, not anymore. To get isopropanol, I'll go into an electronics store and ask for something to clean electronics. They sell it in aerosol cans.
If not, acetone from a hardware store?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mark.
Yep, no worries.
Thank you, Philomena.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Marie.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Hello,
go
Marie.
Ahead.
I just wanted to ask, a brand new laid tiles on the floor and it has a dusty film on it, what's the best to mop it or clean it off with to get it up to scratch?
Okay, is the dusty film, is it grout, do you think?
Probably a combination of both because it's been a renovated house as well.
Yep.
And it's a combination of dust and probably grout.
Yes.
Okie dokie. All right. To get
and
the
it's a flat finish. It's not a high polish tile. It's more of a flat tile. Flat. It's not a high shine.
Yep.
The tile itself is not a high shine.
Okay. All right. Now you want to get an acid on that, and you want to get. An acid that contains, or a product that contains, sulfamic acid. What sort of area is it?
Fairly large area.
Fairly large.
Dining, passage, it's all been really newly laid and renovated. It's very big area.
All right. So we want an acid, but you don't want to spend too much and you don't want to dissolve the rest of your house. So going to the pool chemical section in a hardware store and get a product called pH, get something which will decrease the pH. So there are products
decrease
which...
pH.
Yeah, a product which will decrease the pH. I think it's called pH decreaser. Now,
That's simple.
Now... That contains a dry acid, which is sodium hydrogen sulfide. It's a mild acid and it's cheap, so you make up some of that in a bucket. So maybe you cup of that in a bucket.
With water?
With water and dissolve it. And that'll be a pH of around about 3 or 4, which is ideal. That will dissolve all the grout, which is alkaline. It'll dissolve easily and then you can just
That's
mop it up.
That's the dirt in the grout you're talking about. Yeah.
She was talking about the dust on the...
Yep.
On the grout,
brand new. There's no dirt in the grout yet.
So it was just newly laid,
and it's got that filmy dust from renovating and grouting and whatever.
Yeah,
and it's just to mop it clean. I thought instead of wasting time, I'll get the right product so you don't.
So you want either the dry acid, as I suggested, or vinegar's worth a shot.
In water?
White vinegar?
Yeah, it's not as strong as the dry acid, so it mightn't work as well. Mm-hmm. But they're both weak acids, and they should get rid of all the grout dust for you.
So the pH decreaser, that would have the ratio of water to a cup of,
water. It's not designed for that purpose. As it's a weak acid, you don't need to worry about putting too much in, because the pH will never get too low.
So it has to go with water, though.
Yeah. So it comes as a powder.
So you've got a packet of water, a bucket of water.
Yep.
A bucket of water with a cup of powder and go mopping.
That it?
That's right.
That's perfect.
It. And you don't need to worry too much about how much you put in, because you can't overdose.
Okay.
If it was hydrochloric acid, for example.
So when it dries, if it's not cleared, then do you think it's something else?
If there's any powder left behind from the acid, which there might be, just go to the hardware store, get an ammonia-based floor polish.
Floor polish?
Okay. Well, floor cleaner. Yeah.
Ammonia-based
floor cleaner.
Yeah, or you could just use ammonia. Just a cup of ammonia in a bucket of water, and that'll do a good job for you.
Okay, wonderful.
Bit of work ahead of you.
I'll call you to come and help me clean.
No worries.
See you, Marie.
Thank you. Bye.
A little bit of mopping there. My gosh. Okay, we'll take a break. If you wish to have a chat about a stain you cannot remove, 94841927. Mark Emicides, Dr. Chemical, for the next few minutes. Good afternoon to you, Dane.
Hi.
Hi.
G'day, Dane.
Hey, I was wondering, how do I get rid of paint from my singlet?
Here we go. What sort of...
Not your favourite singlet.
What sort of paint is it?
I know, right? It's a water-based paint.
Right. Okay. Well, paints these days are far more resilient than they used to be.
Yeah.
So it used to be you could just put some caustic soda on it and it just come off. Not anymore. Right. Go to a hardware store, go into the paint stripping. There's a section, I think, for cleaning or paint stripping or something, but just ask anyone for paint strippers. You are looking for a product that contains chlorinated solvents.
Yep.
So on the thing, you're looking for either chloroform or dichloromethane.
Okay.
So any chemical with chloro in there is a chlorinated solvent. They are the best paint strippers you can get. So just soak the relevant part of your signal in that, and that should... It won't dissolve it, but it should make it kind of blister up and swell and then come away.
It's obviously very special to you, Dane.
It is. It's one of my favourite ones.
Obviously. Well, good luck on that one.
So that won't damage my shirt at all?
No, no.
No? Awesome.
Okay, see you, Dane. Carol, good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Yes. Grout. How do you clean your grout and your tiles the best way?
Okay. Get some oven cleaner and spray it along all the grout lines. Wait about half an hour. Then get a stiff broom. So the kind of outdoor broom that you buy off the hardware store with very stiff bristles. And you run that along the grout lines and you'll see it come away very easily.
Then you'll have to steam and clean it.
No, just mop it up then.
Oh, mop it up is what I'm getting at.
Because the oven cleaner loosens it and the stiff bristles will scrub it off very quickly and very easily.
There you go.
And then you just mop it up.
There you go. Oven
works
cleaner.
A treat. Yeah.
And you should reseal the grout then?
You don't need to reseal tiles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, well, thanks very much for
your No worries.
Good on you, Carol.
Thank you.
That problem applies to most homes that have tiles and grouting. They get grubby. Very true.
The difficulty is that the grout is not on the same level as the tiles. It's down in a valley.
Exactly.
That's what makes it difficult.
Exactly. I love the tiles that flush together.
Yeah.
So you can't have that problem. Trevor, hello there.
Yeah, how you going?
Good. Hey. Thanks.
Can I ask a question for Mark?
Yep.
I know I've heard this a couple of times before, but I've missed the ending of it all the time. How do you get the clear plastics on a boat clear again?
About the blinds?
Yeah, the plastic.
Yeah, they get that water residue.
That sun damage. Yeah.
Well, there's not a whole lot you can do, really. If it's been sun damaged, it's been oxidised by the UV, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Righto then.
That's a shame.
If anything will work, go to an automotive store and get some automotive cutting compound.
Yep.
So they come in numbers. So number 3, number 2 and number 1. So you start at number 3, which is most abrasive, come up to number 1. and the automotive cutting compound might just have enough grit to just scrub off that upper surface that's been oxidized.
No problem.
And then you just rub it with the number two and number one, and the beauty of those is that they are UV stabilized. So automotive polishes are UV stabilized, obviously, because your car's going to be outside. And they will provide some protection.
And then you wipe it off after that, or wash it off?
No, just rub it in.
Oh, okay.
So just treat it as though you're polishing your car.
Okay.
Righto. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Good luck, Trev. Yeah, okay. Bye. And final call today, Jeanette. Good afternoon.
Yes, I want to know how to safely remove ore stains from sealed Fremantle stone.
What sort of area have you got?
Well, it's only around the edges of a large area, but it's only the edges where the bore water is, so not a huge amount.
All right. Go to the hardware store and tell them that you need to get bore stains off. The chemical you want is oxalic acid. So go into the chemical cleaning section of the hardware store and look at the cleaning products there, and you're looking for something that contains oxalic acid. If you ask the people in the shop, they should be able to help you.
Okay. And would the same stuff, I've got rendered raised garden beds, would it be the same? You could use it on that too, on render?
Yes, you can. Yep.
Okay. All right.
All right, Jeanette.
Yep, no worries.
Good luck on that one. Thank you, Jeanette. And thank you, Mark.
No worries.
As always, you've solved a lot of people's problems out there.
Yep.
And made us feel more comfortable about generics.
Yep.
Some are better than others. And like you say, get the original, put the generic, look at the ingredients.
Yep.
If they match up, you're fine.
You'd be amazed how often they're identical.
And the price difference is huge.
Yeah, it's often a factor. It's often a factor of two or three.
Yeah.
I've discovered one of the cockroach bombs, which I'm convinced is one of the premium brands.
Oh.
At a third of the price.
There you go.
So just go in the supermarket, get the generic cockroach bomb, compare it with the premium brand, and all will be revealed.
You're going to save us a fortune as well. Okay, now we just had another question quickly come through. Your opinion on, is it xylene?
Yeah, xylene is paint thinners. It's been around for years. It's pretty harmless. It's useful for getting solvent-based paints off sometimes, because that's what they use to thin it down.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're talking about oil-based paints, are we?
That's right, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yep.
We'll see you next time, Mark.
No worries.
And probably have your book up and running, right?
Let's hope so.